Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 174 for September 21st, 2021. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I've arranged for Harry Boxer to join us. So you should be seeing his screen right now. And we're going to go through the list of requested symbols for today. And he's going to share his thoughts on those. So the option professor is back to moderate, and I'm going to turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David. And thanks for everybody hanging in there. While we got a little bit of a late start, we'll get right into it. Today, we're going to be going over all the different stocks you guys put down, and there are a wide variety, so that should be fun. Plus, we're also going to get into Harry Boxer's ideas as well, which are also important. But before we get started, for people who are not familiar with Harry Boxer, Harry's going to give a quick background on himself, which is not easy because he has a very storied career, but he's going to give a brief idea on that and what he's doing over at the company. Harry?
Hi, thanks for being here, everybody. I'm 74 years old. I've been doing this for over 55 years and obviously get up every morning with a lot of energy and love doing it. Most of my subscribers have no idea how old I am, but I definitely want to let you guys know that what I do every day in my site is 1 minute chart day tradings and 5 and 15 minute intermediate and swing trading type recommendations. It's a live webinar. It's a live site. But I started out many years ago in Wall Street for 7 or 8 years as a technical analyst, then left and formed an executive recruiting firm, which I ran for 40 years. But during that course, I also was involved with a new website that I just created called The Tech Trader, which is the service I mentioned a few moments ago. And that led me to write a book in 2015, Profitable Day in Swing Trading, which I wrote for the benefit of my subscribers because I wanted them to have my thoughts on how to trade down it in paper so they could read it and learn it. One of the things I enjoy the most is teaching my people how to trade technically. I believe that pretty much everything that's built into charts, everything is built into charts fundamentally for the most part, unless of course it's a sudden surprise that no one had any idea about. But for the most part, charts will tell you what to do in terms of timing. And I think timing is more important than anything in the market because there's a good time to buy a bad stock. Certainly a bad time to buy a good stock. We all know that. The technical trader, which is was originally called, and that's the URL for it. It's thetechtrader.com. If you go into that site, you'll see a 2-week free trial where you can get all of my services and get an idea of what I do. I've got quite a few hundred people very excited about what we do every day that join me every morning, some for the last 15, 20 years. But I'd love to get into talking about the markets and whatever stocks you guys have. So let's go with it.
Okay. Sounds good, Harry. And again, sharing your knowledge is a very rewarding experience for you, I'm sure. And every day you get to do that, which is a very rewarding thing to do. We're going to start out with Alcon Company, ALC. This is an American Swiss medical company specializing in eye care products, and they're headquartered in Geneva. And ALC is the symbol. So if you could share your chart and put that up.
Is that, by the way, is that Geneva, Illinois? Or
no, this is Geneva, Switzerland. So you get some nice chocolate and you go on the lake. You have a nice time out there.
Sounds good. This is a pretty bullish chart, obviously. In a massive decline in March with everything else. It spiked down to under 40 and then ran quickly within about 60 days, 70 days up to 67 before settling into a multi-month consolidation. So from an Elliott Wave standpoint, it's a 1-2 and this is a 3 because it involves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In Elliott Wave terms, 5 waves constitutes a wave. Although this was only a 3-wave move, turned out to be wave number 1. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Right now, we're in the latter stages of a major 2-year move, let's call it, almost year and a half move from 39 to 87. On a long-term basis, if you look at a weekly chart, you'll also see the same chart as coming up to the top of what may be the fifth wave of a major move, which could, having gone from 39 to maybe call it 90 or 92, where my projected high could be. I'm looking for about 90, give or take a point. I would also be monitoring this position because right now the pullback last week is an important initial support level at 82.60 thereabout. But beneath that, the way I look at view things is the gap, and that comes in about 78.75. So 82.60, 78.75 is your short-term support levels. And your resistance is obviously the all-time high reach at 87.49 last week. We get through that, you might see 90, but then you're running into the top of the channel. That's the way I view things. Basically, I believe almost every stock, intermediate to long-term, will move in a rising channel at something in near 45 degree angles. And when it reaches the top of the fifth wave of that channel, it's often an important exiting point. It doesn't mean it can't go higher. It's just a timing device for me.
Now, I'm not seeing the chart right now. David, are you seeing the chart right now?
Yeah, I can see it.
Oh, you are? Okay. For whatever reason, I'm not. not seeing the chart. Okay, just as long as everybody's seeing it, that's the main thing. All right, let's go to the next one, which is ARRY.
Well, obviously a nasty decline took place, and this stock dropped from the mid-50s down to the low teens. With a massive breakaway gap to the downside, I would assume I'm bad news in May. It's unfortunate because with so many stocks having a run since the March lows, this is going in the opposite direction. However, and one of the keys to a base pattern is that you get a breakout and a retest. And for me, this is exactly what you're seeing. I call this a breakaway and a retest platform. This is a in technical terms called a platform. For me, your support is 1680, 85 zone. Mm-hmm. Recent pullback got to 1728. So there's some room down here. I'm looking at chart resistance at this high from a week and a half ago, 19 and a quarter. And then the recent rally snapback high into the gap that was created back in May. I got about halfway into the gap, got up to 2043. So what I do like about it is the unbalanced volume line that I follow shows a steady lateral to slightly higher move while the stock came down, indicating accumulation in my mind. So this is considered a falling wedge. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we tell my subscribers, when you see a falling wedge with good technicals, particularly above support, it might be an entry opportunity. If I was long the stock, I would look for to see if it get through 19 and a quarter resistance and then take out 20 and a half. Then I would look for a gap fill that makes it 23 and a half. So my targets would be 20 and a half to 23 and a half if it extends. And right now I'm looking at that as a possible angle of ascent based on the bottoms and tops that tells me 23 and a half may be a good intermediate target.
And you really like that 17 area as a foundation, huh?
Well, look, I mean, you got all these tops in here.
Yeah.
And you got a retest there.
Yeah.
And another retest there. So obviously, if it breaks it, it's time to exit. If it doesn't, and this is an Elliott wave 1-2 wave, then wave 3 could take you up there where lateral support and the gap fill occurs.
Yeah. But you'd like this one to be more of a momentum play. You'd like to start seeing 19 handles and then get excited.
Right. I want to see first over 18 and a half and then take out 19 and a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because at that point, you still have room from 19 and a quarter to 23 and a half, 24.
Yeah. And then, of course, you'll have momentum at that point.
Right. And on the other thing is, I also look at measured moves. This stock went from just under 13 to over 20. So let's call it a 7-point move. If you extrapolate the pullback to 17 and change, you're talking 24. So the 23 and a half to 24 and a quarter zone up here, to me, is valid from several viewpoints, technically.
You do anything with the relative strength? Because right now it's right around 50 and turning up, which is sometime decision time with the RSI. Do you look at that at all? Not too much.
I definitely look at the 50 because, to me, I don't know why everybody keeps harping on 200-day. If you're an intermediate to short-term trader, 200-day moving averages aren't as critical. And in my talk with my institutional clients, the traders there all view the 50 as critical, not the 200-day.
Yeah.
So right now we're looking at 16 and a half where the 50 is.
Okay.
And 17 and a quarter where the pullback low is. So somewhere in that zone is key support. And I would probably stop half under 17, half under 16 and a half and just get rid of it. But if it runs, because sometimes I'll dip into that level and bounce. So even that means you'll still have half your position and you can always go back in and buy it. So I'm looking at several factors here, but they all conclude that 23 and a half, 24 would be an intermediate target, probably over the next several weeks.
And these last couple of stocks haven't been around that long either, right?
That's right. This one's been around since October of 20.
Yeah. Next one might be the same kind of story. MIME. These are interesting stocks to look at, though, for sure.
Five waves here, too. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. The fifth wave took out this resistance line and looks to me like if it does extend, then anytime you break out with a little gap in there, okay, and then pull back and test that gap. And if it doesn't break down, if it holds it right there, in my opinion, and then takes out 71 and change, we're on our way to 80, 90, 100.
Yeah, that'll have a lot of juice going.
What I don't like is that the technicals, for some reason, aren't showing this. There was one down day and a lot of volume that kind of skewed the technicals, but 13.6 million shares. Yeah, it's unusual. Probably a block. And this was, and what I had, if I had looked at this a week ago, I would have said very bullish bull flag. But if you take a look at the action yesterday when the market cracked, this one came down to the gap. This is critical for me. I don't believe in filling the gap right away. I think too many people are focused, well, it has to fill the gap. Well, it doesn't have to fill the gap until years later. But for the bottom line is, I would prefer that 64 and three quarters holds.
Yeah, because, you know, again, if filling the gap, I mean, if it can't fill the gap, that's evidence of strength.
Exactly. If it doesn't fill the gap, it means it's just, you know, they're not going to let it get down that far. There's buyers all over it.
And nobody wants to give it away.
Right.
All right. Well, your next game up here, Switch, SWCH. And that's been going pretty good on a stair-step basis, huh?
Yep. Well, you got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 waves, wave 1. one, wave two, wave three, wave four. This is in the fifth wave, but it looks like 1-2. So what I look for is that over 27, I would look for a move into the 30 range, maybe another wave back, and then maybe low 32, 33. But these are all guesstimates. Let's go back a bit. Obviously, it's new all-time highs. So what I'd also would look at, draw your trend lines, especially off the highs on this one. And I have a target now about 30. So I would also implore you to keep in mind that the pullback on Thursday created a low for many stocks that you really need to hold, because if this market cracks, and I don't know it's not going to, especially with today's close, take a look. It rolled over at the end, finished near the lows for the day after gapping up and having huge pre-market futures. I don't like when the S&P is down 354 at 43.54 when the high was 40 points higher. So we came 40 points off the initial thrust and finished near the lows for the day. So we could gap down and break down tomorrow. But this on the hourly charts, you'll see that we had V bottoms here near prior support lows, spiked up to the gap and pulled back. Now that's normal. As long as it doesn't break down under there, if it backs and fills and then goes up, that's ideal. We may have put a low in. But if, you know, we could see a 1, 2, 3, and 4 and have one more wave down as well. So the jury's still out on whether this is a bottom or an important bottom, but we'll probably find out the next day or two.
And you're looking at the S&P right now?
Yes. Well, no, I'm sorry. That was the NDX.
NASDAQ. How about on the, why don't we do the S&P? We forgot to do that in the beginning. Give these people a little bit of a hint on what's going on with the broad-based index.
The S&P's right here. So what I saw was we had a down channel. Let me redraw this because it's not accurate. The down channel looked like this. 1, 2, and then 3 occurred with a massive down wave. Oftentimes the third wave is a big one. And then back up. Notice that the internal trend line that connects these lows is exactly where the market failed today. And then it backed off. So we have a support zone in here at 43.50 that if it doesn't hold, will likely retest or make a lower low near 4,300, 4,310. And maybe, just maybe, if it gets ugly, we could see this come all the way down here. It wouldn't shock me. It would surprise me.
Yeah.
And I this is a 1, 2, 3, 4. So we may need to get a fifth wave, whether it's truncated or shortened, and it makes a double bottom or even a slightly lower low. That wouldn't surprise me. This would, but nothing surprises me on Wall Street, quite frankly, after what we've seen in terms of volatility over the last year or two.
Do you have any comment on the Fed announcement tomorrow? Looking dovish, looking neutral, kick the can down the road, or what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm a fundamentalist, so I don't really care what they have to say.
No, I know, but I was just throwing it out there.
I care how the market reacts to it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be dovish. I can't tell.
Yeah.
But based on this, I think people are worried it's not going to be.
Yeah. Well, and we'll have to see what happens tomorrow. I'm sure it'll have something to do with that. That and the China situation, and then other stuff as well. The end of the quarter, and we've got earnings coming up. So nothing but news ahead, right?
Exactly.
SPWR.
Know it well. This is a former swing of mine. Right now, I'm long First Solar, the leader in that group. This is, I think, number two in the world. SunPower is behind First Solar. Now you can see when this stock popped and flagged and broke out, right there is where I put a swing on. That was about 13. It made it up to in the 50s, literally in a few months. Okay. And then came down. When it broke out here, I put another swing on it and it worked for target one, but target two was never met. It pulled down. And right now, if you take a close look, you'll see it's building a big base, but boy, is there support right here. And if it cracks, if SPWR should crack 19.75, 20, we're not that far. Now we could see the stock in the mid-teens. So I'd be awfully careful. I wouldn't go long until I see at least take out the moving average and a previous high over 23.5, and then 25.60 is what I'm going to need to prove that this stock has turned it around and that this long declining channel here, that line has to be taken out with a thrust on the upside.
A lot of people are bad mouthing the green energy thing because the windmills aren't working and people are having to scramble for natural gas. And so there's a little bit of a bad vibe in this area right now, isn't there?
Yeah.
And then the panels coming over from China and all that kind of stuff.
That's exactly the case. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, that's the news backdrop. We're not news people here. I just thought I'd throw that in. DAR.
I know. Darling Industries.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following this for 20 years.
Darling. It's a Zsa Zsa Gabor stock.
Exactly. Darling.
Darling.
And a major move. This is a fantastic chart, but on a short-term basis, I wouldn't say thin, but it's a low-volume trader. I mean, a million shares is a lot for the stock, but not low volume. It's just like, if you bought the stock in January, you're in no man's land going nowhere. Now, obviously, when the stock goes like this, many stocks have spike low to 10 within a year or 10 months at 79, it's eightfold. It's going to take time to digest that move. You can see the multiple tops, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I would say over 80, 79 and a half, 80, it might run into the mid 90s or even low 100s, but this is not a stock I'd be interested in ever.
This is, I got three moving averages on my 1 year chart, the 12, 20, 12, 24, and 36, and they're all converging at 74. 1974. When they all converge at the same price, generally you get a pretty volatile move one way or the other. So would it surprise you if it blew out 70 and went down?
No, it wouldn't surprise me. On the other hand, with the unbalanced volume line holding fairly steady, it may be a bull wedge. And if it breaks to the upside, particularly above 78, it may blow through 80 and just keep going.
Might be a good strangle call and a put at the same time and then let them sort it out.
Except that I don't think it's volatile enough. But,
yeah, that's true. That's true. But the premiums might be kind of tiny. You'd have to check it out. Boeing, BA. It seems like an odd choice with all these other ones here.
Well, Boeing spike was high was in March, and it came down in a five-wave decline, wave one, two, three, four, five, maybe. There is some support right there and further support beneath that there. But I don't like anything that has declining tops and bottoms. It's in a downtrend, period, right now.
This thing never got over when it was at 435, and then they had the problem with the MAX, and it's never really been able to get its sea legs. And I think some people are canceling orders, maybe?
I don't know, but one, two, three, four, five, and then it went six and seven. That's unusual. And it got almost to the point where it broke down from. So I'm not surprised it pulled back. This is a neutral stock with neutral technicals. I wouldn't be a buyer in this stock for any reason until I see, look, it's got to turn around. It's got to thrust like it did here or there or even there, but that's not happening. And it hasn't happened for 7 months. It's in a distinct downtrend.
There's a little gap up there, I guess, at around 233 to 235, but that's not probably big enough to attract anything.
You mean up here?
Yeah, I thought I see one up a little above 230, a little gap down maybe in August.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. There's two gaps in a row, actually. Yeah, but again, nothing major.
Yeah, it has no relative strength right now. Intercontinental ICE. I think this is where they do all the commodities, right?
Right, the exchange.
It looks like the commodities are cooling off a bit.
Well, I always keep channels in mind because I think every stock tends to channel. You can see, though, after a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's gone sideways for 8 or 9 months, and it's got a triple top resistance. I will say this, though, if it got through the triple top, probably go to 130 and maybe 140, 30, 130, 140 targets. But I don't want to see lower lows made, so I always put stops under the prior low. That spike bottom better not be broken, in my opinion. If this takes out 114, it's likely to see 108, maybe less than that. So, I mean, I have a list of boxer shorts I can show you of stocks that look like that and then roll over. So, why anyone would have an interest in this stock until it breaks out of the triple top? Anticipating now, you buy it here. The only way I'd buy it here is with a tight stop under 114. So you only have a 275 risk on a $118, $116 stock. Not bad. It's a couple percent down, then you're out.
This next one is a stock that looks like a fish that got hooked because the market was going up on it. CLF market was trending up and up and looking lovely, and then all the fish got in there, and then the hook came in, and now it's really on the defensive.
I'm going to show you something else. This is a steel stock. Look at U.S. Steel, same thing.
Yeah, and they were touted pretty heavy.
PMST breaking down. The whole group is breaking down.
Yeah, they are.
What isn't breaking down is Alcoa, although today it had an engulfing bearish bar. I put out Alcoa, believe it or not, as a swing trade in March of 2020 when it was 6.75, and it's made it up to over 50. But this engulfing negative bar with increasing volume has me concerned. I think that the infrastructure stuff, it's pretty apparent. They're not passing an infrastructure bill for a while. Those guys are, you know, complete morons in Washington. I don't know what they're doing. Bottom line is, every stock they ran up for as an infrastructure play is doing this now. It's not good.
Yeah. And also, they're talking recession in China. And in China, once they stop buying stuff, the whole thing falls apart because they're a big buyer of this stuff, too.
Even the construction stocks like GVA, Granite.
Oh, yeah.
Another one has dropped 2.5% today. It's near a support level.
But like I say on TV, there's some talking heads that are like swearing this thing's going to 30 by the end of the year. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen out of the blue.
Which one's going to 30?
Cliff.
Oh, Cleveland Cliffs. Yeah. Well, it better not do this. You see these lows in here?
Yeah.
I would put a 100% stop position under 18.5.
Yeah.
Because anytime you gap out of a pattern, the moving average is rolling over. You break the trend line, you break lateral price support, and then you can't bounce more than off of support. And what was it up today? 3 cents. Pathetic.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
Yeah. Now, it looks like they've given up on it. This next one, obviously, is another China play because they're heavy into over there. And this Jim Chanos, the big short guy, he's thinking Wynn might go into the 40s. I don't think he'd be thinking LVS, which is the next one. LVS has a very bright future because they've been selling a lot of their Vegas properties. So they're very dependent upon Macau. And when you hear that the regulators want to come into your office, the government, and help you supervise your operation, that can't be a good thing, right?
Wow. This is as ugly as it gets. Not only did it roll over and mount multiple steps down, accelerated, lower low, bounced to resistance right to it and failed. And now today is an embarrassing engulfing day. I mean, it should test 33 and a half, three quarters, maybe tomorrow. But look at the long-term chart. Look how long you've got to go back to get to this level.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what happens if it breaks this level? There, we're going back 10 years. If you break a 10-year top, this could be in the mid-teens.
Yeah.
I'd be really careful with this.
Yeah. They're talking about, like I say, putting a government supervisor in their office. And Lord knows what kind of money goes through casinos, you know? AER.
AerCap. Yeah, this is a company that I believe they finance aircraft. The plus is, it appears the airlines may be getting back to ordering new planes. And that's why some people are interested in Boeing. They did have an order increase, the first one in a while, I just saw recently. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm looking at this. Check this out. It appears that you're at the apex of a coil above the 50 at the trend line. So watch this one carefully, because a move over 56 and a quarter could get this running. Targets high 60s and even mid 80s.
This is another one where there's three moving averages all converging at 54. So I would expect some fireworks at some point, huh?
Yeah, when it gets too narrow like that,
yeah,
price-wise, and the moving averages flatten out. Yeah. To me, the big buy was anytime the stock crosses, the moving averages cross over and then they come down to test. Look at the move it had here, 37 to 62, 25 points in a week right after that move.
This next guy is Trimble Navigation, TRMB. Like many stocks, have broken down a little bit, but didn't take out yesterday's low, which is a good thing. We'll have to see what happens here. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's broken yet. This is the way I'm drawing your trend channel. And it appears to me that if it can hold around this level, around the moving averages, and by the way, the prior highs were in here. So usually what happens is a stock breaks out and retests, the prior highs become support once resistance is broken. The moving averages, the trend lines, and the prior highs, and also the pullback came on pretty good buying. So it may be coming out of it, but you can stop it under 84, 84 and a half. That would be a place to consider getting out of it, because then you're vulnerable to 74.5 or worse. I just think it's long in the tooth, multiple waves up, but this might be a 1, 2, 3, 4, and the fifth wave is a 1, 2. So if it holds it here, you may get 3, 4, and 5 and move this up dramatically, maybe 30, 40 points, but not seeing that yet. I'm just theorizing what may come if it breaks or if it breaks out.
What do we got? CHRS.
I know Coherus very well. Great chart. Well, this is not what I'm thinking.
Biotech, a lot of action.
When I say great tech, I mean, look how volatile this stock is.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what I like about it, it had a massive 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wave decline, engulfing reversal bar, ran up through resistance and backed off and formed a little wedge. And I noted this on my weekend webinar that I produce every weekend for my people, that it broke out and it tried to follow through today and backed off. I think the targets might be 20 and 23 going forward, but you may get a retest or pullback to the 16 and a half zone to test. It may do a 1, 2, 3, and then 4, and then go up to 20 and a half and 23. Those are my targets.
Is that kind of a cup and handle?
It is.
So it's not a bad formation for the upside, huh?
Right.
All righty. What do we got here? AUPH.
This is one of my swing trades. I'll show you where. The stock popped out and pulled back and then popped again. We put a swing on it at 14 three quarters. It met both of my targets and then some. So at this point, I'll take out today's line, because today I had a wonderful day. It broke out through this wedge pattern, but it did hit the top of the channel. I noted that in today's webinar, that I told some people to take profits at that peak when it was over 24, and sure enough, it came down into the close. But overall, you got to like the stock. The problem is, in a vulnerable market, we can see the stock back to 19,
yeah,
or even 7, 16 and a half. That's this area here. But I'm starting to think it wants to accelerate the angle of ascent.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it does that, it could blow into the high 20s, even low 30s.
Now, I was looking at this thing. It had a high point at 16, then it went up to 19. When it pulled back, it didn't take out 16. Then it ran up higher to 22. When it pulled back, it didn't take out 19,
right,
and now it's gone to 24. Would you trade it against 21 and 22, 21 and three quarters, and see if it'll bounce again, or that might be playing that game one time too long?
I think the latter, because even though this chart is great and it's broken out and the volume is pretty good, multiple waves up, the higher you go off the low, the more vulnerable the stock becomes. Obviously, 1085 low, 24 and change high, it's more than doubled in the last 6 weeks. So in a vulnerable market, this stock could get hammered back, like I said, in the high teens. But as long as the market remains strong, the momentum now that it's broken out above the 2019 high, I believe the all-time high. Yeah, here's your all-time chart.
You ever look at like some of the moving averages, and when you get extremely far away from the moving averages, you're at a point where you think some reversion to the mean might be very possible?
Of course. Even the 21-day moving average is 18 and three quarters. That's right. 4 points. The 50 is down to 15 and 30. So yeah, this is gone maybe too far too fast, but you know, momentum's a funny thing. You don't know how far they're going to go. They always go further than you think you're going to go. They always go further up and down further than you think they're going to go. That's why this market has me worried, because, you know, just when you're in the middle of something and you think you got a bottom, it rolls over, takes out the lows, and gets crushed. So this has to hold, or we have a bad market ahead of us.
Now, pharma as a sector is very, very positive in some circles. And this next one, MIRM, is a pharmaceutical. So it's in the right sector as far as some sharp people think. So do you think this might be something that could go on and on?
I got MIRM. I agree, but I got so many better looking biotechs, so many, that this is just one that looks okay. Yeah. Granted, it came down, it had a falling channel, it broke out. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't taken out what I consider real resistance, which would be above here. So like it gets above 23 quarters to 21. 23 quarters, 22 is your resistance zone, is also a gap there. Let's go across here. I'll say the targets are 23 quarters and 22 and three quarters on a momentum play, but I'm not sure how far, how fast with this kind of volume. Look, here's a stock that trades 200,000 to 300,000 a day. I want stocks trading multi-millions. It's so
yeah, big. Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm not, this is too easily manipulated up and down. Look at the swings on it, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah. And then the bid offer is pretty wide too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right now it's after hours.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all she wrote as far as these ones here. Are there any, obviously we got about 20 minutes here. So how about we start going over some of the stuff that you're doing?
Well, sure. I'll go over some of my swing trade that I put out recently, just to give you an idea of what we're looking at and why. Just the day before yesterday, I put out LIFE. Now there's a biotech, LIFE. If you want a biotech, look at that chart. You have a multi-year base, an explosive, monstrous breakout reversal wedge. Look at it on an hourly chart. See the wedge? It broke out of the wedge and ran today. And my trading target would be about 12 and three quarters. But if it gets to 12 and three quarters, it could be a monster. It could just be a monster. So sorry about that noise outside. I got a gardener out there.
Okay. So anyway, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, that looks great. And
And what kind of volume are we talking on that one?
Well, if you get, like today it traded 8.6 million shares.
Yeah, a lot of action.
Right. And that's not even close to what it traded last week when it was trading 50 million and 108 million. So it's got the capability of going on a measure move basis.
Any particular drug they're involved in, or?
You know what? To be quite honest with you,
I don't pay attention
to the fundamentals.
No, I just thought you might know offhand.
Nope, don't. But today's breakout on increasing volume, very important. The only thing left is over 13. Then you're in the mid to high teens. Next one is Palantir, which a lot of people know.
Mm-hmm.
What they are. It formed a beautiful inverse head and shoulders, the left shoulder head and right shoulder complex. Then it started to break out, but it did pull right back quickly. So when I'm monitoring this closely, because it could be a head fake, but notice where it got up to. It got up to this area where there's multiple resistance as well. So I'm not surprised it pulled back. The question is, it gapped down and dropped yesterday quite a bit from 28.10 to 26, and today got down at 26. So there's a little double bottom there. I really want to see this hold. I would be stopping this under 25 or 24, depending on what. But I still think that if it takes this zone out, it could spike and get into the mid to high 30s.
Do you ever look at any of the SPACs that those guys seem to be participating in?
I traded a lot of SPACs, and I got hit on a couple of them, and I got disgusted with them, quite frankly.
A lot of them are way down now, but maybe they're way down and they'll be flat for a while, huh?
Right. And a low price stock, I like Acacia Research. Look at the base it's built since March, with multiple tops at 7, and it's hovering within a little consolidation right under 7. You get through it, it's a $9, $10, $11 stock. Long term chart looks great. 1, 2, 3, 4. A fifth wave starts, it could be multiple points.
What's the symbol on that again?
ACTG, Acacia Research. It's a cheapie, $6.70.
But like a volume in the millions?
Well, no. This isn't the stock that when it does trade, it'll trade 1 or 2 million. But on an average day, it trades about 300,000. I had a beautiful swing trade, but it's too late because the stock was taken over. But take a look at the breakout here on Green Sky. The day it broke out at about 6.5, I put it out. It ran to 8 and change, flagged, and then it got taken over at 12. So that was a nice pop for my traders. LKNCY, the Chinese coffee company called Luckin, broke out here. I put a swing on it, then retested, popped and coiled, held the 50-day and the trend line, popped again, pull back, and today it popped again. So this is a stock that got decimated. If you remember when it first came out, it went into the 50s and dropped down to a dollar and change because they thought it would go bankrupt, but it was not to be. They got financing. Look at the recovery from $1 to 17, almost 18. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised to see 21 and even a run towards 26.7.
Yeah. And this is the Starbucks of China, right?
Yes, indeed. EDIT, another biotech stock that I've traded so many times and successfully, especially here, we got really good beautiful swing on it when it broke out over 36 back in December and ran into the 90s. But then the falling wedge ensued. It popped and had a wedge. When I saw the fall- falling wedge breakout right there. I put a swing on it in the low 40s, like 41 or so. And it went to 73 in a month. And now it's pulled back right to the support. Look at the platform. So I'm watching it carefully to see if it is going to be an entry op again. I'd probably wait till I see it above 64 with volume and get it going to 73 and 85. Also, on this one, it looks like a trend line is established. It looks a little bit like this, but I think the angle is, so one of two things happens. The angle is going to change and it's going to run up there, or it's going to have to come down in that zone before it goes up to that zone.
I was going to ask you a quick question, real quick on energy. Is Halliburton setting up for a big up move? Because a lot of people are talking about $80 crude. If we go to $80 crude, you figure some of these things might get on their bicycle. Halliburton, H-A-L?
I like APA better. I like, even I like old Oxy better. But they all have inverse head and shoulders. You notice left shoulder, head, right shoulder? Uh-huh. So this has got to break out over 28. This has got to break out over 21. Halliburton's got to break out, in my mind, at least over 21 with volume.
And then, if it does that, they could have quite a bit of runway there, because this, you know, this thing has traded in the 40s, 50s, and up to almost 60. So that's got some decent upside potential if it got cooking, right?
Yeah, and you can see it up here. He's stock 40 and 50 and 60. Yeah. There's a lot of stocks like CPE, Callon. Callon went from like four and change into the 60s. It's an incredible move, but it's come down. So I'm watching all of these oil stocks. I'm not as confident as some of the other people about oil going to the 80s, but it could.
Yeah. If it did, though, these wouldn't be the cars to drive in, you know. Any other sector you think might be setting up for anything? How about any gold stocks that look any good that might go? Because that's kind of a little bit dead.
Right now, I don't like the gold group at all. There's no reason to buy gold at all.
Nothing in there.
Although I do have one stock. I know this is going to sound crazy. One of my institutional clients discovered a gold stock trading at a quarter that apparently is got some very interesting results and could explode. And I'm going to show you this chart, if you don't mind.
No.
FDVXF. It's a Canadian gold stock called Fenerixo. Check out this chart.
XTVXS?
VDF. Excuse me. FDV.
FDV?
Yeah. FDV. Frank Delano Victor Xerox Frank again.
FDV. Gotcha.
Okay. Beautiful base patterns developed. Notice the volume, that's cluster of volume in the last three, four weeks as it pops. If this gets above 28 cents, our targets are 45, 55, 85, and $1.25. My guys think this could be a 4- or 5-fold increase in the next 2 months. We'll see. It's just a real gold speculation. I don't like gold in particular. All you got to do is look at the GDX and tell me why you'd buy this stock.
You can either buy a share or a stick of gum. That's how cheap it is, right?
Exactly.
Any other things that, you know, could be, like I say, the energy, if it got going, could have some nice action.
It looks like the
industrial metals, you can stick a fork in them right now anyway.
There's a lot of interesting stocks in the agricultural input group, a company called Seed, a couple other companies like that, but I don't like the charts. This one, I love the chart. Look at Lightwave Logic. We recommended it when it popped out of the coil and it just ripped from literally $2 into
What's the symbol on that one?
LWLG, very speculative. It's a swing trade for the tech traders. I put it out when it broke this coil just recently at about 10.5, closed at 13.22 up $1.42 today. I think it's an $18-$20 stock. Pretty interesting pattern.
Obviously, people are coming in. This must be trading millions of contracts, right? Or
1.3 million traded today.
Yeah, nothing bad about that.
Here's a great looking chart called the Beauty Health Company. The symbol is Skin. And I saw this coil back in early August, and it broke out with a breakaway gap, and I put a swing on it at 20. It made it up to 28, and it's wedging again. Today it popped $1.34, 5%. I'm looking for a move to low 30s, maybe more. Great chart. Look at that chart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially when, you know, you get strength when everything else is not so good. And you like that pullback, you know, you get that pullback here to 24. So you're under the idea that it might be blowing out that high on the next move up.
Yeah, if it today was a big day for it, but the volume wasn't big enough. So I'm still watching. It may very well back and fill some more and continue to coil near the apex in a week or so, and then maybe go. Hard to say, especially with the trend line there. It may need more time to work towards the trend line, even pull back down into it and then go. Mid-30s target, though, that could be 8 or 9 points.
Anything else you got on the horizon?
I do want to show you some stuff on the short side.
Okay.
Well, I put out an AMD short when it broke down because it wasn't bouncing. It went from 200 to 165 already, and it looks lower. AMED. NVCR. It broke down with a gap in front of the bear flag. That's underneath the moving averages. I put a short swing at 189. It's already dropped to 125 with a bear flag in between. It looks like this could be near 100 before it's over. Another one that looks like that is ANVS. Big breakaway gap through the moving averages to the downside, and now a falling flag, and that is so bearish that eventually I think this cracks, comes down to 21 and maybe even low teens. Looks dangerous. INGN, when it got hammered and snapped back and then started to drift lower, I put a short on it at 61. It's dropped down to 45. It looks to me like it could be high 30s before it's over. GRWG is another one. Broke from the bear flag, another bear flag. And this one looks lower to me too. There's so many stocks. There's one, Carmart, head and shoulders shoulders, top breakdown, bear flat, and it's drifting lower. I can see this at 105 and even 85. I hate overstock. I think that stock is going lower, especially with Bitcoin kind of like, I don't know, if you talk about Bitcoin, the 100,000, I think it's pretty funny, but it might get, if we get there, it doesn't matter where it goes. I just look at the charts. This is a bearish chart with a bear core. So there's a lot of charts, long and short. You can always find something, right?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. How about Riot? How does that look? That's the blockchain for...
I was trading Riot at $2.50
yeah.
down here. You can see the pop wedge, pop falling flag, breakaway. This was the major day for this stock right here. When it popped from 4 to 6 and it did it on 82 million shares with an increase in volume like that, that was the breakout. So from there, it went vertical nonstop to 79. So literally went from 4 to 79 in 90 days. A little bit overbought, you think?
Yeah.
So it came down, it bounced around. It looked like it might break out again, but it then rolled over and it's in jeopardy of retesting support. I don't like the way this looks at all, and I'd be short this stock, not long.
There's a couple of SPACs that Palantir supposedly has some action in. BKSY. These also have pretty good volume. BKSY. It's a Black Sky Technology.
How could you chart this stock? It's all over.
Doesn't have enough.
Well, it's just not a pattern that I can trade off. It's
yeah.
Just, no, you could, this could go up or down or anywhere. It's like yeah. 15-minute chart shows a double top, a breakup support. Now you're at key secondary support. 10.5. It breaks down to 985 or something. There's nothing here to tell me I should buy or sell this stock. I mean, I would rather be out of it. Put it that way.
How about Keys Technology? KEYS. You know, people tell me that this is going to be the key to a lot of technology down the road.
Well, obviously, an incredible chart.
Yeah.
But you know what? Remember that phrase, believe nothing that you hear and only half what you see?
Right.
I don't know. This is a beautiful long-term chart. But if you looked at the chart, just step back and say, okay, back in 2016, it was trading at 21. It's now 8 times that. And it's near the top of the channel. Too rich for my blood, especially with the gap down. Now, it had a nice engulfing reversal bar today, but you have to take today's low seriously and put a stop underneath it, or half there and half under the 50-day moving average, which is about 169. So right now, support is 171 and 169. That two-point range is critical for this stock, in my opinion, because there's also a prior high there. So that is an area where you cannot let it go below. In addition, draw your trend line, and that's why this has to hold in that zone. Next target would be 185.87 up there.
And let's just before we close out, just a couple of big guys. Apple, AAPL.
Well, you know, Apple had a pretty nasty sell-off after making a new all-time high, 157.26. In a week and a half, it dropped 16 points, which is a big component of all the indexes. And now you know why the market's down. And there's a gap there. It tried to get up to the gap and backed off of it today.
Right.
If I see Apple get over 144.80, 82 with volume, then I would look for a quick 140. I mean, I don't like trading this stock because it's turned into a commodity stock.
Right.
You know, but
yeah. And it doesn't fit your parameters.
But here's the key for me. The stock is broken below its moving averages. They're starting to roll over. Unless we can get back above 149.50 quickly in the next week or so, this could roll back and be 134. If the market gets another wave down, I think Apple's vulnerable to at least 137, maybe 134. And you said there were a couple. What's the other one?
Okay. We have a few minutes, Harry, before we end it. So why don't you, again, review a little bit about how the trading room works. And also any special offers you want to extend. And then again, for tomorrow, what you might be covering on the meeting that you're going to be on, where we discuss the VIX and trading news events.
Well, yeah, the VIX is critical for market volatility and for overbought, oversold readings. Right now, it's on the rise, and you can see that it popped to a resistance level and backed right off today. But if this should get to 28.5, it could fly to 40, 45. If that occurs, you'll probably be getting the spike down that I said could happen on the market if we don't get going right here. Okay. So the bottom line is, you know, I think volatility is rising. The market is weaker. It's a bad time of year. September is historically one of the worst months of the year, although we are 3/4 of the way through it already. I'm not sure October is going to be that much better. But again, the trend is your friend. And I also am a big believer you trade individual stocks, not the market. Stop paying attention to where the Dow's going, the S&P, the NDX. And it's more important. Every day, even in the worst day we had yesterday, I had 4 or 5 stocks that were going up 30%, 40%, 50% in one day. So you trade momentum, you trade charts, and you trade the right, if you're in the right stocks at thetechtrader.com. And I invite you to come into thetechtrader.com. Here's a look at the room. And you can see right now, they're talking about stocks that I put out this afternoon, MRIN. Let me give you an example. Late in the day today, when I saw this pattern, where was it? It was right in here. The stock popped, formed a flag. I put out a buy. I was trading at 546. And I also told them it's coiling into the close. Look what happened right after the close. They did a deal with Google. It went from 560 to $10. $9.90, $4 point. And even then, my favorite pattern when we trade after hours is to look for a setup like this, a coil, and looking at near the apex of the coil, low buying, which we got, and then boom, even here, even after hours, 8.25 to $9.90. What a nice trade, even after hours. And guess what? If we get a five-way move on this one, we've only got 1, 2, 3. We can may very well see this at 12 or 12 and a half before the evening's over or tomorrow morning, perhaps. But so coming to the techtrader.com, you'll see this kind of trade all day. We look for momentum, we look for patterns, and at techtrader.com, hundreds of people posting their ideas and messages. It's a really cool place to be. You'll see there is yours truly. I put up the top 20 gainers at the end of the day so everybody can see. And we had a great day trade on RWLK, a low price stock. We don't necessarily specialize in them, but RWLK, which I spotted this morning when it broke out of this pattern, we put out a buy when it broke through $2 because we don't trade under two at about $2.03, and eventually got up to $2.68. And that's a hell of a nice percentage move, about 25-30% for my day traders. So I invite everybody in the webinar today to come to thetechtrader.com and check out our site. I think you'll find it to be a fun place. It's 2 weeks for free. Nothing else to do except sign up, make some money. A lot of people tell me they make enough in the first 2 week free trial to cover their cost for an entire year. So again, thanks for being here, everybody. This is Harry Boxer at thetechtrader.com. That's thetechtrader.com. Sign up for a free 2 week trial and come in and join the party.
Okay. That sounds great, Harry. And again, everybody should take advantage of it. You get to check it out for free. And then, like I say, you get some ideas you can work with right off the bat. So that's great. And then again, tomorrow, everyone should tune in so they can hear your entire broadcast on how to trade the VIX and also what news events kind of you look at and target so you can maybe get an edge that way as well. So that's perfect. As far as optionprofessor.com, we do have the monthly and weekly updates that we hand out. So if you go to optionprofessor.com, put your email in, you'll get a free market update every Friday and Saturday. So that's good. And I'll be talking tomorrow as well for an hour on my views on the VIX as well as news events and how the options can work around that. So there's something there for everyone to learn. Harry, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate your time. I know you had a busy day today, so thank you very much. And I'm going to turn it back over to David.
All right. Thanks, guys. Covered a lot of good stocks today. So just a quick reminder about tomorrow. We are starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and Norman Hallett will be the first presenter tomorrow. And then the Option Professor will be second at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And then Harry will be on at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And then there will be one more presentation after him. So it'll be 10 a.m. Eastern time until 6 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. And then again on Thursday, another 8 presentations. So be sure to join us. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to get access to the live shows while we're recording. And then also all of those presentations will be recorded individually and posted on the timingresearch.com site as soon as possible after the event. So also you can subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app to get updates that way as well. So just want to thank my guests again for today, Harry Boxer of thetechtrader.com and the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.